Hey, Rob, what's going on?
What's going on, brother?
Not much. Hey, do you know, have you ever heard of Project Gutenberg?
Nine.
No? Nine. What's wrong with you? So I was researching for today's podcast, and anytime that Jocko's covering a book, I try to find like links to it. And he covers a lot of books that are out of copyright because they're so old, which are, I know, some of our favorite books. Because like, if a book can stay around for a long period of time, it usually is a signal to like its usefulness. So anyways, if you guys go to gutenberg.org, and I'll leave links in the show notes, it's a project where they digitize all the books out of copyright. So you can get over 57,000 free books. And this isn't an ad, by the way. The reason I'm bringing this up is because I found... So I was going to buy Napoleon's Maxims of War off of Amazon, right? And then I Googled and it said free ebook. Find it. And yeah, no, well, I'd been linked. Other people had sent me links to Project Gutenberg before, but for some reason I didn't remember to search for it there. So I found the free link to Napoleon's Maxims of War on Gutenberg. So I'll leave that in the pod. You can just click the links in your podcast description if you guys want to read this book for free, which I just I wanted to bring it up because I think their mission, what they're doing is just amazing. The idea that there's an entire staff of volunteers, you know, digitizing over 50,000 books and in some cases turning those into audiobooks. And it's everything's completely free. So it's, I don't know. I think that's a very useful tool.
Awesome.
So where do you want to start?
Did you find the book? Did you read any of it?
I didn't read, true to what Jocko said, like they're in Maxims. So like if you click on the link, it's like one set. It reminds me, you know, we've always talked about our love for the book, The Bed of Procrustes, but like Maxim number 5, all wars should be governed by certain principles, for every war should have a definitive object and be conducted according to the rules of art. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like that. So it's almost like reading a series of tweets, except yeah, I think the book... A book in physical form, I think, is like 160 pages. So there's a lot of information there. Okay. But I think we should just try to do is let's just take turns highlighting, like, you know, which ideas stuck out to us. So do you want to start?
Sure. I mean, the first thing I wrote down from this, and this is, I wrote this down when we covered this on APAP, but he talks about Napoleon fought more battles than Hannibal, Alexander, and Caesar combined. And those names are not just like, you know, simple names. Those are major names in military campaigns. But I wanted to ask you, what do you know about Napoleon, like to even get started in it? Like it's a very complicated person in world history.
Well, I don't like, I've never followed. Like, I didn't know too much. The thing that sticks out to me when people talk about Napoleon is, like, how he ended. Like, he was ostracized.
Yeah, he was exiled.
Exiled, I guess, is a good way to put it. And all I that's, like, one of the things that stuck out to me when I learned about him when I was younger. And I just remember, I thought it was on, like, an island somewhere. I'm looking it up now to see. Oh, okay, he was exiled on St. Helena. So the UK kept Napoleon on the island of St. Helena in the Atlantic Ocean. And it's just like...
Kept him safe.
Yeah, it's just... it's really fascinating to me because, you know, there is obviously anytime you have a somebody that engages in military conflict, you have two sides or more to like their legacy. You know, if you're the one that is going against Napoleon in battle and he's killing your family members and friends, you're obviously not going to... you know, you're going to look at him differently. That's why it's funny you wrote down that quote where it said Napoleon fought more battles than Alexander, Hannibal, and Caesar combined.
Yeah.
And that's from a book called Roots of Strategy. So I also looked up that book. And I have to order it because check this out. This is the most succinct product description. The writings of Sun Tzu, Vegetius, Marshal Maurice de Saxe, Frederick the Great, and Napoleon. That's the entire description. So there's multiple volumes in the Roots of Strategy. That's just volume one, book one.
Okay.
But that's a hell of a combination. I don't know the second and third names, but I know who Frederick the Great is, Napoleon, and of course we know Sun Tzu.
Yeah. So we both said so.
Oh, sorry about that. But if you guys are interested in ordering that book, I'll leave the link in the show notes as well for Roots of Strategy. And I think there's multiple copies you can buy on Amazon if you're interested. There's at least, according to Amazon, at least four different books, which is, it's got to be interesting.
So here's something interesting. And Napoleon's a part of a very small group of people that have led a country that they weren't necessarily born in.
I didn't know that.
So he was, correct me if I'm wrong, but Corsica wasn't necessarily France, kind of like the same relationship, I guess, Puerto Rico would have with the United States, or better yet, Guam has with the United States, right? Like, it was just kind of like, yeah, French go there. So it's known to be a French territory, but he wasn't born in France. Like, and I actually read a list of people not too long ago of the people that were born outside the country they ruled, like Hitler wasn't born in Germany. Like it's a very short list. And about, well, I want to say actually one more thing. Like, if you go to I read a little bit on Wikipedia, and he was the first consul of France, and then under that it was like under successor, it's himself. It's like, I'll take over for myself, thanks. You know, like,
this guy, I see that now. It says himself as the emperor of France
takes over as himself. But I could get into the maxims if you after you comment.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to start with something that Jocko talks a lot about, and something I've been thinking about a lot too, just since I've been introduced to the lessons of Jocko, is he gets into it right around the 8-minute mark in this podcast, and he's like, Napoleon was the master of the flank.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to do an assault, you're going to pay attention to that, and then from the rear or the side or somewhere you're not expecting, you are going to get submitted.
I wrote down strength and mobility and master of the flank. Is they talked about how like it was so important and how they marched, and you really have to put yourself in kind of the times to think about that they're on the move. There's no tanks, there's no combustion engine.
No, they're on feet or horses
and you know, animals pulling some of the things. Like, it's got to be, I don't know, man. It's got to be challenging. Like you actually had to march to where you had to battle. So,
the reason I brought that sentence up to you is because me and you just read that book by Ryan Holiday, which is just fantastic, that Conspiracy. And to me, that what he's talking about is mastering the flank, that's like indirection. And I think if you read Ryan Holiday's book, you realize that the protagonist in that story, all of them, were all masters of indirection, that they concealed, that they, like, in the case they were doing battle with somebody, and it talks about how, like, the person that was about to lose their entire company and their life's work was like, Ryan Holiday described it, like, they were asleep at the wheel, you know, they were just like sleepwalking through one of the most important parts of their life, and because they were so confused because they were getting attacked from all different angles and they didn't even understand who the aggressor was.
Yeah, so good.
And so I thought about that, like, okay, well, that's in, you know, in psychological warfare and in war and business is what the Conspiracy book is about. But Napoleon, employed these tactics in matters of life and death. And that's just got to be terrifying. If you're in a battle with somebody, you know that you could die, and then they've outsmarted you, their plan is better, and you're going to die as a result. Like, I just can't imagine what that feels like. That moment you realize, oh, crap, my life is over. I've seriously underestimated my opponent.
I think it'd be worse if you uncovered that you are the victim of a flank yourself, right? Like, that's, and you're in command of a small group, and then you notice that, oh shit, we have given up our position, we played our cards, and we thought somebody was going one way, and now they're going another way.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Resources to that, like, yeah, like it's. It can only be described as an oh shit moment that we cannot comprehend, right? Like, so,
yeah, because it's not like you're going to be able to interview the people afterwards. They're dead, you know?
Well, there could be some survivors, like some guys, but, like, you know, according to Napoleon, they may be cowards.
So I've been reading this book that it's another one of those stories where it just blows your mind. And it's called The Fish That Ate the Whale. And it has to do with the creation of these like super large corporations in like the late 1800s, early 1900s, and they made bananas in Central and South America. And as we've read some other books like Confessions of an Economic Hitman, all these other things, you see that like this manipulation, this indirection where you have outside forces, larger countries that actually infiltrate and will overthrow governments. But one of the stories in there is this guy becomes he's an immigrant from Russia coming into the United States, literally penniless, has to start working for 14 years old. He starts being a peddler and selling bananas on the side of the road. Within like 10 years, he's a multi-millionaire. And then a few years later, after that, when he's in his 30s, he's summoned to the Secretary of State because they're having business in Honduras and they don't want him to get involved. Because he's having an issue with the Honduran president at the time. This guy is 31 years old. His name's Samuel Zamuri. And he winds up funding a guerrilla campaign in the he's like, okay, yeah, you won't hear about my involvement. That's what he tells the Secretary of State. He goes back the very next day. He unleashes his own private army onto the country and he overthrows the president that is trying to impede his profits.
Is the book called Banana Republic?
No, it's called The Fish That Ate the Whale. The Fish That Ate the Whale, The Life and Times of the Banana King, I think, is the term.
I knew but Banana was somewhere in there.
The reason I bring that up is because later on in life, he's having another problem. Actually, I think the first thing happened in Honduras, the second one in Guatemala, so I might have that reversed. But what happens is he hires people, and they use indirection, this idea of flanking that like Napoleon does. And they're like, hey, we have a problem. There's communists and socialists that have taken power, and they want to try to take away the land. Very similar to what Cuba, what Fidel did a couple years later, because this is about 10 years before Fidel overtook Cuba. And we want to they're basically extracting the land from American corporations, and they're going to give it back to the people, right? Yeah. Well, so Zamuri hires this guy who's a master of indirection, and he's like, listen, you can't frame this as a problem for your fruit company because nobody cares about your fruit company. What you have to do is what you're hiring me to do is to paint this as a problem to the United States that, hey, we're in Cold War right now because this is in like the 50s now, and there's communists in our hemisphere. And so it shows, there's an entire chapter, it breaks down this indirection, how they reframe the problem to a handful of people at the CIA, and the CIA does basically their dirty work for them, that they had manipulated the manipulators. And what happens is they go in there, and the United States overthrows them. I think his name was Arbenz. Jacoba Arbenz was the guy that this happened to. And he was, you know, the president of the country for like four or five years, and then he got on the wrong side of a fruit company. The reason I bring this up is because it just blows my mind of how like different the world actually is to how we're told it is. And I'm sitting here reading this book, and I'm like, wait a minute. A fruit company caused a president to be overthrown using, and then it talks about all the soldiers and all the people that the United States sent were on the boats that the fruit company owned. And I'm like, it seems like it's fiction, but it actually happened. So yeah. I don't know. I what I'm saying is this master of flanking, it seems to be something that Jocko talks about constantly. And I think it's a very, very powerful idea. And once you realize it, you'll start to see it everywhere. And when you see people use it, it can literally shift the course of history.
So let me package a question for you. You have a company with a direct competitor. Would you rather spend more time just being the best you can be at whatever you produce in your company, or would you want to build an illusion to flank the competition?
No, I'm of the mind. There's two people that have influenced me on this. And one is Jeff Bezos. And it's funny you brought that up because I save all these quotes on my phone because I'm a weirdo. And I literally have it right now. He goes, if you're competitor-focused, this is a quote from Jeff Bezos. If you're competitor-focused, you have to wait until there is a competitor doing something. Being customer-focused allows you to be more pioneering. Jeff Bezos also has a quote in this great book called The Everything Store, where he's like, listen, he's telling the people that work at Amazon, he goes, stop focusing on the competition. They're not going to ever send us any money anyway.
Yeah.
That's another good way to put it. So, and then the second person that influenced me is Naval Ravikant. And his whole point is like the future of work is much less about competition and more about individuality. And if you're building a business around yourself and the talents that you have, it's very hard. If you're building a business that reflects who you are, people can't, like, it's like almost like you have a monopoly of one. Yeah, because it's like, that's why I think podcasts are so powerful. Like, think about Jocko. Jocko's podcast is Jocko's podcast. If you're listening to Jocko's podcast, it's because you like Jocko. That he's not really competing with other podcasts, you know, in a macro sense he is. But micro is, there's no replacement for Jocko podcast. It's not like, oh yeah, this other guy, Jimbo, we can listen to Jimbo podcast. No, there's only one Jocko. That's why I think that's more, and you look at Jocko's podcast, who can reach millions of people all over the world. Like, so there is a competition on a macro level for attention. You have a finite amount of time you can spend listening to podcasts or any media. But if you go deeper on like a granular level, there is no competition for Jocko because there's only one Jocko.
First of all, thanks for painting the picture of my buddy Jimbo doing a podcast on military campaigns.
I love Jimbo. I just I was
it's just,
playing
it's just
off
funny. I understand.
Yeah, I was playing off of Jocko.
That's a funny concept for anybody who knows him. It just doesn't make sense. But like,
yeah, I wasn't even thinking about your friend Jimbo, who's always been really really nice to me, and I really like. I wasn't saying that at all. But
shots fired. But I wanted to
never.
I wanted to kind of divide. Because Napoleon seems to be on the thought that always be on the offensive. You always want to be, like, just – it's so much better than to be on the offensive than to be on the defensive. And I'm trying to equate that to, like, to business. And I think the general meeting would be, like, just, you know, do your thing, do the best you can be, and just put it out there. Rather than like worry, like being defensive in commerce would pretty much be worrying about competition and reacting to competition rather than just being, I don't know, forthcoming and original.
Okay, let me just interject here because I do think I have a somewhat unique insight just because now on my other podcast, I've read, I think, like 36 books on biographies of entrepreneurs. Woo! So like I've kind of been studying this subject. I think in a zero-sum world, like banana trade, competition was way more important, you know, because like Samuel Zamuri's company, he starts from nothing, winds up capturing like 17% of market share, and eventually the State Department makes him sell his company to the main producer, which is the United Fruit Company, which is the company that overthrows the dictator I was just talking about, or the president, or whatever you want to call him. I think now, because almost all work is going to be digital. Not all. A much larger percentage than ever exists is going to be digital. It's no more zero sum. So I don't think worrying about. I think being offensive means focusing on what it is you're trying to do in the world. Why does your business exist? Like, what's purpose? And just trying to be as good as possible at that purpose. I don't know. Anytime you talk to people that study entrepreneurship, that have started businesses, like I just heard Paul Graham, who's the founder of Y Combinator, is well known in startup circles, and I just listened to him talk last week. He's like, listen, like we funded something like, I don't know, I think let's say 1,500 different companies. I don't know the exact number, so I'm just making it up, but something like that. He's like, out of our entire portfolio of companies, like one failed because of their competition. Most times they fail for other reasons, so it's really... We're not in a zero sum world anymore. There's plenty of room for everybody. This other guy, he's the founder of this company called Nomad List. I love what he says. He's like, listen, any country in the world, any city you go to, there's always like a corner coffee shop, right? Well, what the internet allows is for everybody to have the internet equivalent of a coffee shop on the corner business. You know, you're going to have these massive companies like Amazon, Google, et cetera, Alibaba, the rest of these companies. But now you're going to have literally millions and millions and millions of these tiny little businesses that can exist because of that. So is the person that is creating the equivalent of a corner coffee shop going to have to be worried about competition? No. So it's just – and that's what I think Jocko – you said Napoleon's obsessed with this, and maybe Jocko directly learned it from Napoleon, but we've seen this, you know – spoken through combat history multiple times, and he said a common thread that we talk about: being on the offensive is good. It is always better than being on the defensive. And I Excellent. Think that's in life. That's the difference of like waking up and life happening to you. Or you like think about when Jocko wakes up and his feet hit the floor. He's not like, oh, let's see what life's gonna happen today. Like, I wonder what's gonna happen. He's like, no, I have a fucking agenda. And that agenda is going to be pushed through. Like, I am going to do that. One of my favorite Jocko quotes of all time, we covered a long time ago, and we'll get to it eventually. I don't even know what podcast is on, but he talks about, like his guys in the Navy SEALs underneath him, they're like, they don't run into walls. If there's a wall, they break that wall down. And I feel that's Jocko's mentality crystallized. You know, he's like, okay, these are the tasks that I want to do. This is what I want my life to look like. And I'm going to spend all my time molding my life into what it looks like. What I'm afraid of is that there's a lot of people out there that don't realize that they have that ability too.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
You can manipulate and influence your life, and you could decide, hey, this is what I want my life to be, and then you could work towards that.
I agree. That's why, you know, and I see the benefits in my doings of this. But anyway, back to the book. you know, I love it when he says that in there. He's just like,
I want to buy that shirt. What, he has that? A shirt on his website. It says, back to the book.
Yeah, that's a great. Yeah, I didn't know that was available, man. I'll have to get it.
Oh, wait, you have a birthday coming up. You might in
might
like
have
what
to get
2 months?
That.
Yeah, you might have a package for you.
Sweet.
So going back to the book, though, let me just bring up one thing, and then we could just take turns again.
I already said back to the book. You're going.
Oh, did I jump in front of you? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, brother. If you got something, go ahead.
I really like. And he said the first quality of a soldier is constancy and enduring fatigue and hardship. Now this is. Napoleon speaking, saying the most important thing is constancy and enduring fatigue and hardship. The second is courage. Poverty, yeah. Privation, and want are the school of the good soldier. That's where Napoleon's words end. Yeah. And
do you
Jocko,
remember the? Oh, sorry. Do you remember the definition of privation? It was interesting.
Yeah,
I wish
funny
because
he mentioned in the. Podcast that he had to look up that word, and so did I. So it's a state in which things that are essential for human well-being, such as food and warmth, are scarce and lacking.
So is that where you get the rank private in the military?
It's above my pay grade. Let me just finish. But that was Napoleon's, right? And so Jocko's addition onto that, he's like, if you look at the elite military schools, they are all about being hungry, cold, tired, and miserable. They're about privation.
Yeah, hence
and
private.
I thought that was fascinating. And when I wasn't expecting to bring this up twice in the podcast, but when I heard that, I thought back to hearing Paul Graham talk, and he was saying something like that if you had two attributes for an entrepreneur, the most important people think is intelligence, and it's not. It's relentlessness.
Yeah.
So perseverance. He goes, listen, you'll find, he goes, in my travels, I've found plenty of smart people that flutter out and never are not successful. And he goes, and on the other end, like there's plenty of people that are average or below average intelligence, but they just never give up. And you see them build these like weird businesses. Like maybe they have a plumbing empire or they, you know, I forgot the example he used, but he used something like that. Like something that, you know, just you plot away little by little. And I think what this is saying, you know, the fact that like, what's another way to put constancy and enduring fatigue and hardship? That's persevering through hard ass times. Yeah. And I don't know. I just love that idea. I want to remember that idea.
That's the whole like approach in battles. Like it's not going to be easy. Like find somebody who can just go camping for 10 days. You know what I mean? Like all your bases will be covered, but yet again, it'll be uncomfortable. It'll be long, like even like that, and that's simple. You know what I mean? Like that's very, very simple, and you'll find very few humans that would be like, "Why am I doing this?" You know what I mean? Like it's, and you know, they, some of them have a point, but but it's just humans are just not wired for that. At least not anymore.
Well, I don't know if our wiring has changed. So I understand I agree with your statement. I don't agree that, 10 minutes and 53 seconds into the podcast, Jocko says the way people act in battle, the way humans respond to combat situations doesn't change. That's why he feels like, studying battles that happened 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago is just as valuable as studying something that happened recently because, you know, we're just not evolving that fast.
Well, yeah, the tenets and basically all the ethos and philosophy is the same. The only thing that has changed is technology and you know, a few other things I imagine that I just can't number right now.
Well,
so, totally agree.
You know what I'm going to say to this? Like, it hasn't changed because the simulation is the same.
Oh, shit.
That's an inside joke, guys. Me and Rob, we have listened to a lot of podcasts that we talked about, and we've listened to some on simulation theory. Like Elon Musk thinks it's he's pretty.
If he talks
sure that
about that on Joe Rogan tonight, I'm gonna turn it off.
He's pretty sure that we're in a simulation. That I think he gives the probability that we're in what he calls base reality is like a one in a billion. But we're not gonna rehash that. I just think it's funny. I don't know what I believe. I'm just saying that I think it's funny.
I'm gonna move on. So one thing I really liked, and I think is gonna stick with me from a long time because it stuck with me the last time I listened to this podcast last year, was your plans of campaign need to be infinitely modified, or not need, or can be infinitely modified. And that's like kind of another way of saying, like our Strong Opinions Weekly Held is just kind of another way of saying that. It's just like you have to be humble to the situation and respect everything and just kind of go with the flow with your plan. Like plans just can't be rigid, right? Like you have a major campaign, but it has to be altered at every second. Like it can't be rigid. If it goes in one direction, you might find out that that direction is failure. So it's just one of those things that I think is going to be applicable to a lot of things in my future life.
So I wrote that down as well, but yeah. I also wrote down something that kind of maybe it conflicts with it. I don't know. But he says, how many things apparently impossible have nevertheless been performed by resolute men who had no alternative but death?
Yeah.
To have quitting as an option is not smart. So that necessarily, I guess, doesn't really have to conflict because it's saying, hey, you have a goal. I guess what you're saying is you have a goal, focus on that goal, but be flexible on how you achieve that goal. And I think to add on to that, Jocko's saying, if you have an idea that you quitting is an option from the beginning, it's not smart. We've heard stories when I think this had to do with like the conquistadors. Maybe that's the first example. I'm sure it's been other examples throughout history. But, you know, the term burning the boats. Do you remember that?
Because you're not returning.
Yeah, so what they would do is, like, we're invading, and, oh, we just landed on the shore. Guess what? We're burning our boats because the retreat is not an option. So I kind of like that. But, yeah, I mean, have a goal. Be flexible on the method you're going to use that goal, but don't ever think about quitting.
And I think that came from a Mediator podcast, if I remember correctly. I can't remember the guy's name, but the guy came to Florida and then walked to Mexico, they just burned the boats saying, we're not going back.
You know what? It's interesting. You thought about that. I thought it was. Dan Carlin episode on Magellan, but it does. I mean, that's like a 7-year-old podcast.
But the whole purpose of Magellan was getting back.
No, he died. They stabbed him to death in waist deep water.
Yeah, but his campaign was to circumnavigate the globe. So
yeah, I think
to burn your boat would be like he did die. Right? He did. He died somewhere. Yeah. But it wasn't by his own men. I think he maybe a tribe of cannibals or something. I don't know. something fucked up or something bad happened to Magellan. But his crew completed the mission. They got back on the boats and they got back. Magellan did not, but the boat.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Yeah, he has. It's if you guys are curious, Hardcore History number 32 is called Globalization Unto Death. And it's the lead character in the episode is Ferdinand Magellan.
Oh, wow. Is that behind the pay block?
Yeah, but it's $1.99. I mean, come on.
That sounds like a great podcast. Let's do. I love that
stuff. I bought the bundle. You can buy all of Dan Carlin's old work for $60. And it's, you know, it's hundreds of hours of content. Like, it's worth it. And he's the best podcaster on the planet. Like, so, yeah, it says Ferdinand Magellan is the lead character in this episode about the collision between the old and new worlds and what Dan calls globalization 1.0. But yeah, he released that in 2010, so eight years ago. I was actually wrong about that. All right, so going back to the book. No, it's okay. So if you guys are curious why we have a dog as our podcast art, sometimes Tonks, which is the dog you hear in the background, joins into our discussion. So when me and Rob were like, we need podcast art.
She's just upset because another dog's barking.
Yeah, well, there's several podcasts we used to record in the past. She would voice her opinion too. So, and she's a good looking dog, so we put her on. She's like the third co-host of Jocko Academy. Okay,
back to the book.
So I have two other notes, and jump in whenever you want to, but not so much of Napoleon's maxims because we covered organically through our conversation. We basically hit on the same ones.
Do you want me to finish with...
Yeah, if you got another one before we move on to the questions, because there's a couple couple things that he said in the questions I thought was smart.
I have two more we could just gloss over. One is just like a half of them, but let me just go with the one about retreat costs far more in men and material than the bloodiest battles, because in battle the enemy loses as much as you, but in retreat the loss is all on your side. And that's something that you can sit down and like truly think about. Like that is when you're building an ethos of an army, or even just like kind of in your philosophy of life, like that's great. Like if you ever go so far into something and just give up, the loss is all on you rather than, somebody is banging in the hall.
It's really not, I like the Tonks addition to the podcast. She's staying in, so don't worry about it at all. Keep going.
But anytime you give up, it's 100% on you. It's 100% on you if that's your choice to give up. And that's some fuel for me that's going to, you know, kind of help me get through a lot of things that I think I want to, like, give up. Because, you know, lately living in Colorado, there's hiking is just not like, oh, let me just go walk around the woods. I often pick a point on a map, and I was like, I'm going to go there. And then it gets difficult. But, like, your brain tries to talk you into giving up several times during the thing. It's like, why are you doing this and that? But like pushing through is, it's just that's one thing. The other thing I just think is just an interesting, it's not the whole maxim, but it's just, I find it very interesting. And it's war is composed of nothing but accidents. And I don't think you need the rest of the maxim. I think you can just think of that, and like the person who you are will kind of fill in the blank on the rest of that.
It's chaos.
It's another word of saying, another way of saying, like, everything is chaos. The world is chaos. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's it's very abstract in thought, and it's something that's going to be like in my mind as like, you know, especially if you're just like walking through society, bumping into people that you'll never know or never see again. You just think of like, it's at like, even that's like a form of accident, or the randomness in which people scatter because a shell hit your trench in like World War I. Like it's just complete chaos. So I don't know, something to think about. But if you want to continue on with what you wanted to go with.
Yeah. So the questions. So some of the answers to his questions I thought was interesting. One, he said, a mark of someone that can lead well is someone that can take complex ideas, simplify them, and communicate them in a simple manner.
Yeah, and we love that. That's been something that we've gravitated to in a lot of our podcast listening.
Yeah, I think Jocko, that describes Jocko as well as Napoleon. Because, I mean, if you're going to be able to write a book of maxims, you can kind of, that's exactly what Napoleon's doing. He's taking complex ideas, simplifying them, and then communicating to you in a simple way to you.
And you know who I'm going to think about right now, and that's Neil deGrasse Tyson, is taking something complex and kind of packaging it in a fourth grade level so the masses can understand, or maybe not fourth grade level, but like a generalization of level.
He just eliminates jargon, because jargon it makes it confusing to people, and if you confuse people, like, they're going to be frustrated and they're not going to learn. So that's not a good way to teach. The another one he says is like really important, and something that we've talked about ad nauseum on this podcast, and something I try to like take with me now, is when you lose your temper, you are showing you can't control your temper. And if you can't control that, what can you control?
Control your temper, Tonks.
And like, to me, it's like anytime I see that. So I always see, and I'm really trying not to look at Instagram. I now look at it once in the morning and once at night. Same with other social media, because it just takes up too much of your time. So I'll give it 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes total between the two networks that I like, at the beginning of the day and at the end, and just, that's it. That's enough of my life that you're getting.
That's
it. But what I see there constantly is people post these like fight videos where like just random people are arguing over a parking spot. And you see this all the time. It's like, wow, that person is just out of control, and their life is out of control. And like one case, they start to fight, and then you see the cops come, and now that guy's in jail. So because you fought over something as useless and as stupid as a parking spot, you couldn't control your temper, and now you're in jail. And that's going to cost you thousands of dollars between bail, attorney. You might have to do even more time. You might lose your job.
Yeah, that saying you said last podcast, you're like quick to temper, quick to...
quick to anger, slow to thought.
Thank you. Yeah, quick to anger, slow to thought.
I'm pretty sure I got that from Game of Thrones. Because if you watch the show, the Stark men are very much like hotheads. And what happens is, you know, they get their head chopped off. They get killed at their own wedding. Like, you know, just they're not making intelligent decisions, unfortunately.
Okay.
And then the last one, this goes to why I recommend Jocko to everybody I know, is because everything he says is simple but not easy. And I think that's just a good way to think about life. And he talks about mind control. And he's like, what is mind control? And his advice, anytime you're going to ask him advice, it's going to be the same thing over and over again because it's all simple. How do I stop doing X? Stop doing X. How can I start doing Y? Start doing Y. And I'm obviously using variables there because you can input whatever you want. How can I stop eating bad food? How can I start working out? How can I start jujitsu? How can I make more money? How can I get smarter? How can I write? How can I whatever you want to do? The answer is just do it. But yeah, so that was the end of my notes. Is there any other notes that you had that you want to touch on before we wrap?
I like it how we have very similar notes after listening to this, because there was probably like 20 or 30 maxims in there, but me and you both kind of highlighted the same. Like the ones that I didn't talk about, you did.
That's weird though, because we and you, I think, are very, we've known each other a long time, but we're very different.
But we act but as one in a podcast.
Never. No, but I think that's just because, you know, like the same thing that's resonating here, something I thought of. So Tim Urban writes one of my favorite blogs, Wait But Why, which I've put you on.
Yeah, great.
And I love, I heard him on a podcast describing like, why is his blog so unique? Like, why does he draw these stick figures and why does he choose the topics he chooses? And he's like, listen, all of us are basically an exact copy. He takes it from like a scientific term, scientific perspective. He's like, all of us are basically an exact copy of, but there's about 100,000 other Tims out there. He goes, so my job is just to find them. So I write for myself because I know there's at least 100,000 other me's out there. And I think the reason that a lot of these things stick out to us is because they're not just sticking out to us. They're sticking out to anybody that is predisposed to Jocko's teachings, you know? That's why I also think that like there's a ton of other people just like me and you, Rob, that are interested in we don't have to be different people, because the people that are going to find Jocko and maybe find this podcast too, like, they're going to be just like us. They're going to be interested in self-improvement. They're going to be interested in learning. They're going to, like, or if they weren't, they'd be listening to other bullshit, like just mindless stuff. They'd be watching their Kardashians or some other dumb crap instead of spending 3 hours listening to Jocko talk. That's not a normal person. Somebody that is going to, like, think about that. Like, I played, so I subscribed to Jocko's YouTube channel, and my brother-in-law was here one time, and I, you know, instead of watching a movie, sometimes I just put on a podcast, like a 3-hour podcast, whether it's Joe Rogan or Jocko or anybody else, because, like, that to me is more entertaining than just a movie in many cases.
Yeah, a lot.
And he's like, what are you watching? And I explained to him the podcast. He goes, it's just some guy talking. And I'm like, yes, that's what I like about it. my point to him is like, he just had no interest in that whatsoever. So
fine.
Like, there's already people that are predisposed to this message, and they're, you know, they're just like, they have the same interests as us. That doesn't mean they're into snowboarding or entrepreneurship or any of these other tangential things that we might be like occupy our time. But they are like, we are kind of aligned with, you know, learning and self-improvement, which I think, you know, what is Jocko's podcast description? Leadership and discipline. It's an exercise in brevity, even though it's funny because Jocko, you know, uses that, you know, Twitter's like the perfect format for him because his responses are very succinct.
Yeah.
But his podcast is also very long, which I just love because, again, he's not going horizontal for you. He's going deep. And if you're, like, that's what I love about his podcast. That's what I love. That's where I'm personally attracted to in podcasts. I hate these, like, superficial, you know, they sound like radio shows. It's just, like,
dumbed-down
nonsense. Yeah,
bad.
But they do have millions of, you know, there's millions of people out there like that. So, you know, I don't want to discourage that. But what I'm saying is, like, it doesn't surprise me that me and you can listen to the same podcast independently and some of the same things pop out at us. So
yeah, the feeling that I have about the masses is that more and more people are just going unplugged more. Like everything in social media is like a, it's basically a culture of just like ignorance. Like they glorify chicken nuggets and shit.
Listen,
like,
don't buy into that lie. Listen, I understand why people, I don't believe that at all. I think that is a lie. And I think it's, there's like an incentive for people to like dumb down things. But if you look at the explosion of podcasts, there's millions of people listening to Jocko Willink speak. These are not dumb people. Like, and they're like the whole quote unquote intellectual dark web, which, you know, I'm not like, I don't want to get into the politics of it because I think it's ridiculous. Like, I don't like politics in general. I think that there's probably more people that don't fit into a political party than do. Dan Carlin made that. He's like, why am I, in his Common Sense podcast, he's like, why am I the only political independent with a large following? He's like, this doesn't make any sense. He goes, there's way more independents out there than there are Republicans or Democrats, et cetera, et cetera. But like, what the internet is showing us is that there's, if there's millions of people willing to listen to a 3-hour podcast about a fucking book, that like they're starved for this kind of entertainment. Yeah. But when the entertainment was consolidated and centralized, you couldn't get that. And what social media is, it's consolidated and centralized. So it gives you the impression that there's way more people out there wanting, you know, the shallow stuff. I don't believe that at all. I think there's a huge army of people that are hungry for information. So,
well, I agree with you, but I still think the bigger part of the market wants that just kind of numb entertainment rather than intellectually stimulating. And it's a shame.
Well, I don't know. We'll agree to disagree on this point. I got to get out of here. Anything that you guys hear us talk about, the Gutenberg Project, any of the books, anything, any topic we're going to discuss, you'll find it in the show notes in your podcast description. We'll make sure they're clickable. Check out Project Gutenberg. I think it's amazing. You have 50,000 books for free. This is not an ad. This is just a really great resource. If I can shamelessly plug,
you read them all online with Gutenberg.
What do you mean?
You say all these books are free. Are they audiobooks? Are they ebooks? What are they?
I read them online, but I'm sure you can. Let me see. I'm sure you can download. A lot of times, like if you have the Kindle app, even if you don't have a Kindle, that you can download ebooks in that format and have it delivered to that app, so you can read it in that. But I mean, yeah, they're ebooks, so you're gonna either read them on the internet or you can probably get them in ebook form. But in any case, the links will be there. Shameless plug for me. If you're interested in entrepreneurship, I have another podcast called Founders. I'll link it in the description as well if you want to listen to an Apple podcast or anything else. It's very similar to Jocko's podcast, except his podcast is a lot better because he's a very much more impressive person. But it's me basically reading biographies of entrepreneurs and misfits and just, you know, people that deviate from the norm and pulling out ideas that were interesting to me.
I like it.
Yeah. And I'm getting a lot of positive feedback. I'm not trying to be, you know, self-effacing or whatever the term is. It's just, you know,
Keep it up. We like it.
Jocko's a different level of talent.
Well, he's, that guy's battle hardened. You're just guy reading books.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, that's what I mean. Like, I'm just giving him props. I'm not trying to put myself down, but you know, he's a very high quality individual. That's why I want to learn from him and expose myself to his thoughts.
All right, buddy.
If you like what we're doing, I was supposed to leave 2 minutes ago. If you like what we're doing, subscribe. If this is the first podcast you heard, we're listening to every single Jocko podcast in sequential order. So you could probably listen to our podcast starting at podcast one and working your way back up.
Yeah. So we're probably going to go on for like forever if Jocko keeps putting out podcasts.
Do you think he's going to quit?
No, I don't know.
I read 75% of every podcast ever made has stopped updating.
Yeah, right? I saw that in Pod News. Like,
yes, they so just that gives sit you. There. It echoes back to what you're saying, how most people quit and how you're trying to use what you're learning from Jocko and Napoleon's Maxims to remind yourself, hey, don't quit. If you just internalize that advice, you're ahead of the curve by a far amount. But to my point, if there's one person on the planet that I don't think is going to quit, we might be doing Jocko Academy till Jocko dies, which hopefully doesn't happen for another 50 years or maybe, I don't know how old he is, so 100 years. I want him to live at 100 years old, but I just don't think this guy's going to quit. There's nothing I've seen.
I don't either. Like,
there's nothing I've seen from him that
we may have a good
believe.
Business model with this podcast. Like.
All right, man. Well, I really enjoyed talking to you. Like always. I'll talk to you soon, and we'll be back next week.
Adios.